So I walked into a major retailer the other day looking for some new clothes, and I couldn't find anything. And on top of that, the prices are not great. Bad selection, too expensive, and poor quality means that I've been looking other places. And you've heard me talk about Quince, so I went back to Quince. I was looking for some shorts. I found some European linen shorts for $34. And let me tell you, these were the perfect things to buy for the warm weather we have lately. It is getting hot out there, and these shorts are keeping me not only cool, but fashionable. So cool in two ways, I guess. So why would I go back to a major retailer when I can get a much better product at a great price? Plus, Quince works directly with ethical factories and cuts out the middlemen. You are getting the best thing for the best price. So refresh your everyday with luxury you'll actually use. Head to quince.com/falloutlore for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada too. That's quince.com/falloutlore for free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/falloutlore. You know how sometimes you look in the mirror and you think, if only I could lose that extra weight. And you've been trying and trying. Well, have you considered weight loss by Hims? It's designed to support losing weight and keeping it off, and they now offer an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps you regulate your appetite and eat less, and in combination with both a better diet and exercise, you can lose 20% more weight. And you can get it easily with Hims. Everything happens online. They connect you to a licensed provider who will determine if this is the right treatment for you. Then, if prescribed, they'll ship it to you right to your door. No insurance necessary. And on top of that, they support you beyond just selling you the thing. They'll support you with messaging from their care team. There's also an in-app lifestyle and nutrition support that includes recipes and meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content. Simply put, they will dial in exactly what you need in order to reach your goals. So if you're ready to reach your goals, visit hims.com/falloutlore to get a personalized, affordable plan that gets you. That's hims.com/falloutlore. hims.com/falloutlore. Weight loss by Hims is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information and restrictions, visit hims.com. Welcome to the Fallout Lorecast, the podcast that explores the boundaries of our knowledge about the world of Fallout. It is time to check back in with some of our pre-war businesses and discuss some of the cool things that I've discovered about businesses that start with D. We're very firmly in the D section, starting with D-O, and we're going to be going into some things you might recognize on this episode. I think you will be interested to find out what is going to be covered, but I'm going to save that for now as a little surprise. Think about companies that might start with D, and maybe you can predict where we're going with some spooky surprises. I'll just leave that there. But hey, let's just get into it. You guys know how this works. Here we go.
You gaze upon one of America's greatest minds, preserved through the miracles of science.
So the first one that we're bringing up today isn't very spooky. This is not a very spooky one. In fact, it's one that just shows up. It's one of the few ones that just shows up only in the TV show and nowhere else. And in the background, one of the names of a business that you can see in the background of this strip, the Las Vegas strip, because this is a pre-war business, is Dowd's. Is it Dowd or Dodds? D-O-W-D-S. This is an appliance and furniture store, and you can catch a glimpse of it in the background during the pre-war flashbacks. And we don't know much about it. It is just kind of a set piece. It's a name they put up in the background. And we do know that it's an appliance store with furniture and televisions because that's what's on the bottom of the sign. Dowd's is at the top, real big in a fun script. And then appliances, furniture, and televisions. And this is a callback to the 1950s, the 1960s, when something like a television was a big investment. In fact, it was new technology still. Well, not brand new technology, but they were innovating quickly and TVs were getting bigger and more clear with more interesting colors and contrast and all of that. And you could walk past, say, a shop like this in a downtown area, and it would advertise on the sign that they sell televisions. In fact, you've probably seen in movies where they feature time periods of the past, where people walk past storefronts with a bunch of television sets all in the front little display. And people would even stop and watch the news in the television set in order to just see what was going on. It's a bit of a movie trope, but I'm sure it happened in real life as well, and this is one of those types of stores. Outside of that, this doesn't show up in any of the other games, there's no other references to Dowd's that I'm aware of, and it's just a brief appearance in the TV show. So there you go, Dowd's. The next time you watch through the Fallout TV show, look for it, you'll see it in the background. If we head to the top of the world in Appalachia, we find a business called Dreamboat Yachts, which is kind of funny that it's at the top of the world, which is up in the air and very far away from water. But this is a business that catered to people who were, well, wealthy enough to afford yachts. And so a place like Top of the World would make sense for a business like this. Now, this isn't the only business with Dream something at the beginning of the name. There's a series of businesses, all started by Jolly McPherson, including Dream Skies Airplanes and Dreamtastic Homes. These are all fraudulent businesses, built for milking money out of people as best they possibly can without ever actually delivering on their promises. Dreamboat Yachts just happens to be the most recent of these fraudulent businesses. And we know this because there are a series of notes, and well, two notes and an angry letter, that show up at the top of the world. Here, let's read through them. The very first one is the Dreamboat marketing note. This says, employee notice, Jolie. First it was Dream Skies Airplanes, then it was Dreamtastic Homes, and now we've switched to Dreamboat Yachts? Just how many crazy business ideas are you going to drum up where the customer walks out of the store empty-handed? It's pretty tough to get people in here when they know darn well they aren't walking out with anything except a receipt. Sal Carnes, Marketing Director, Dreamboat Yachts. So this first note, you can clearly see that Sal is calling out Jolie on a history of these businesses that all start with the word dream, that sell things. Very expensive things, things that take a little while to deliver, like an airplane or a boat or a home. And then they never actually deliver that. They just have the customer pay for it. They walk out with a receipt and then that's it. And this isn't the first time that a business has been, well, mismanaged in nefarious ways in the Fallout universe. That's pretty common. What's interesting about this one is that they are sticking it to the wealthy people. There are plenty of businesses run by extremely wealthy CEOs and other people who take advantage of common people, the average person, the middle class and the lower class individuals who would be purchasing and using their products. This one in particular is preying on the wealthy, which is kind of a twist on the formula. Now, Jolie responds to Sal's message in the second one, the second letter here or note. It's the Dream Owner's Note is what it's called. Employee Notice. It starts at the top again. Sal, I don't care how crazy it sounds. I'm telling you that wealthy people will buy anything when they're on vacation. Heck, I'd open a store that sold plots of land on the moon if it wasn't illegal. And don't you worry about how the customer will get the boat while they're on a ski trip. You just get them in here and let me worry about it. Right, so Sal was the marketing director, and so that's his job, is to bring in customers. And Jolie's like, well, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if we don't deliver things. We're just going to take advantage of them. Now, what I find interesting about this note is that Jolie says that they would sell land on the moon if it wasn't illegal, but it's still illegal to sell things like boats or planes or houses and never deliver the product. That's still illegal. So what's stopping Jolie from selling land on the moon? It also makes me wonder if in the Fallout universe, travel to the moon is becoming something that is more easily accessible by 2077, and they actually had to pass a law against selling plots of land on the moon. Is that a thing? It seems to imply that it is. And so it makes me wonder, what was the straw that broke the camel's back? When did somebody try selling land on the moon and then that got them in trouble and so a law had to be passed? But this also implies something a little bit more interesting. It seems to imply that somebody actually could have the rights to property on the moon. Like, maybe the United States actually does have international ownership of the moon and therefore has the rights to decide who can and can't sell property on the moon. Maybe the government itself owns the entire moon and therefore the property is not for sale. Thus, it's illegal. This does remind me of the mural you see in Fallout 4 of the conflict on the moon. And if there were battles fought over the moon, that seems to also imply that somebody's the winner and somebody's the loser of those battles and therefore might have rights to the moon. And if that's the case, what facilities does the United States have on the moon? This is a big open question. This is something the fan base has debated for a number of years now, that this might actually be a real thing. But it could, it very well could be, and it might be the focus of, I don't know, something in a storyline, a quest, something in an upcoming game. Maybe we'll actually be able to go to the moon at some point. That might be cool. So, I don't know, keep that in the back of your mind. But we have one more note. This one's a letter, and it's an angry letter from a customer. Dear Madam, I'm absolutely appalled at your company's lack of customer service. In February, I purchased a Dreamrunner 5000 luxury yacht. I love the name Dreamrunner 5000 from your establishment in the top of the world at the Pleasant Valley Ski Resort. Like my baggage, I expected the yacht to be awaiting my arrival at home, but to my dismay, it wasn't there. Concealing the fact that bespoke yachts take 2 to 4 years for delivery is not good business sense. I expect a full refund or my yacht delivered immediately. Callahan Huxley III. A wonderful name, Callahan Huxley. This very much sounds like a very wealthy person. Now, I would imagine you could buy a yacht like this and, I don't know, get a refund pretty easily. But maybe not. I mean, the yachts are very expensive. I don't know how much you can put on a credit card before you run out of money on your credit card to put like a yacht. That seems like a very large credit card. Now, if you're an extremely wealthy person, maybe the limits of credit cards go up higher, or I don't know. But I would imagine that Jolie runs the business in a way where people have to pay up front and means that make it very difficult for them to get a refund. So they can't just cancel the transaction on the credit card or something like that. So there you go. Dreamboat yachts. On our last episode of the pre-war businesses, we actually had another diner or two. We've had a number of them show up. We've got another one here. Drumlin Diner is a chain of diners that you can find in Appalachia. So unlike some of the other diners we talked about from like Fallout 3, this one's in Fallout 4 and Fallout 76. And because it's a newer game, you can see that the graphics have improved a little bit on the sign. Instead of having a typical diner looking sign that's flat with just kind of a flat texture on it, this one actually has 3D rendered letters that stand off the sign. And it looks a lot like Village Inn. You've got that kind of rhombus shape behind Drumlin Diner in red and white. And at the bottom, it says open 24/7, which is pretty typical for these types of diners. You could go at any hour of the night. And the Drumlin Diners look a lot like a 1950s diner with like the chrome shaped little building, chrome shaped. Like it's got like a, I don't know, you know, like the metallic chrome edging around the windows and the door. And it's got that 1950s vibe with the, I don't know, what is it, like leather seats, pleather, maybe it's pleather. The pleather seats, they're kind of red. The checkerboard floor tiles, that sort of thing. It looks very 1950s. And there are a total of 6 different locations you can find this diner, 5 of which are in Fallout 4, and only one so far is in Fallout 76. The first one is west of Starlight Drive. These are all the Fallout 4 ones. Then there's one northeast of the East Boston Police Station. There's another on the south side of Salem, and along the roadway of Gibson Point Pier, and then by the Hubologist camp in Nuka World. Fallout 76 has one in the Watoga Shopping Plaza. So the number of diners showing up in Fallout 4 being a lot more than the ones showing up in 76 seem to show that this was probably a chain of diners that started in or near the Boston area and has expanded out to Appalachia with just one location, which makes sense for chains. They tend to start in a very specific location and then spread out geographically as they continue to grow. But outside of that, not too much else to say about the Drumlin Diners, but definitely notice them next time you're playing in-game. They definitely stand out. If you see a 1950s diner, there's a good chance it's one of these.
Oh, I don't know anything, mister. I just think it. And then I don't.
We're getting closer to the creepy one. We're up to DU, if that's another hint. But this one is Duncan and Duncan Robotics. Now, if you've played through the Wastelanders update of Fallout 76, then you will remember this place. There is a quest line where you need to go find a robot body to put an Assaultron's head onto. It's a fun little quest, and this is definitely a location I remember exploring and looking at in detail, especially the first time I came across it. You find all sorts of different robotics parts and what appear to be, well, turned off versions of different robots all throughout the dilapidated shop. And the shop is still being maintained by a Mr. Handy. There are these like laser fields around some of the displays. And there's a story here as to why that Mr. Handy still is operating this shop years after the bombs fell and the original owners are no longer present. You see, this place was run by the Duncan brothers, Jonathan and James. And they didn't get along at all, and the story gets pretty weird. When you get to this location, you find the Mr. Handy. He's running the place all alone, and his name is Skinner. And we learn some details about what happened with Jonathan and James. It seems that Jonathan had passed away, but James still wanted to believe that his brother was alive. He'd gone delusional and thought that Jonathan was still interfering with their business. In fact, there are some weird notes that are left. For example, there's one that you can find at the top of a desk on the second floor of this building. And the transcript is really long, but it's basically the same thing repeating over and over and over again. It says, "I changed the code to the Assaultron showroom, James. 8. You have to make your sale some other way. 8. I've already given you the code. 8. You don't need me. 8. But as you've shown, traipsing around with those goons, 8, you never have 8 read between the lines. James, I have changed the code," and it repeats, right? Well, if you notice, all the 8s add up to 6 8s, 888888. That's the code to the showroom. It's also the address of the location that they're at, or at least really close to it. It's 5 8s, 88888 Watchkey Street, Charleston. But it gets even weirder. Here, listen to this transcript of James talking with Skinner.
"Oh, you've truly done it this time, Jonathan. This numeric obsession of yours will be our ruin. You've reminded me multiple times it's the only house in the city with that number. But leveraging our only... You what? Oh, don't be a... Fine. Skinner!"
"Yes, Mr. Duncan."
"Oh, my brother refuses to continue our discussion without his evening tea. Because he is a petulant child. Do fetch him some so we can be done with this."
"Mr. Duncan, I hardly mean to be rude, but where exactly would you like me to bring this tea?"
"To my brother, you imbecile."
"Your brother? At the cemetery?"
"What on earth are you talking about? Go downstairs, make his tea, and bring it to the desk directly in front of you where he is seated."
Sir, there's no one there."
"Well, you don't see him?"
"No, sir."
"Well, that simply won't do. Skinner, fetch my toolkit. You're clearly malfunctioning."
"Very well, sir."
So you can clearly see that he's delusional here, but he also believed that his brother changed the code to the Assaultron showroom and hired a law firm to, well, leverage their influence over his dead brother in order to try to get the new code. Yeah, super weird. There's a letter from the law firm from William Ryan Gramercy Esquire about the issue. "Mr. Duncan, I've given a strong dressing down to the men involved in the, quote, altercation. I'm terribly sorry about them attempting to serve you the summons meant for your twin and duly hope you can understand the mix-up." The law firm, assuming that Jonathan must be alive, mistook James as Jonathan. But it goes on. Unfortunately, the other Mr. Duncan continues to elude us. Yeah, because he's not alive. Are you sure he's not residing at a different address? Can you at least confirm I have this correct? Then the address is listed, 88888 Watchkey Street, Charleston. It also seems he's been avoiding your mutual place of business since the lockout occurred. Though the men I've had stationed in the neighborhood are having some trouble differentiating you two, as you've well seen, is there any chance you might be willing to don a small item by which they can differentiate you two? A lapel pin or a rose in your jacket pocket? We at Gramercy and Ulster appreciate your patience in this matter. It is our sincere hope to have your brother found and access restored to your showroom in no time. And by the time we get there, it has been over 2 decades, and the robot is alone. Skinner's all by himself, and clearly has been disturbed by everything that has been happening.
How may I help you, alleged member of the living?
But after you talk to Skinner for a little while, you can convince him that you are a member of the military. All of the Assaultrons at that location were ordered by the military, and he was still waiting for somebody to show up to actually take the Assaultrons. So you convince him you're part of the military, and then you get a new body for Polly back at the Wayward. It's a fun little thing. It's a very Fallout-y thing, but also I love how the robot itself is disturbed, or at least has been tinkered with by a disturbed individual enough for them to also come across kind of messed up. So there you go. Huh. Robots that are messed up. Where have I heard that before? All right. So we are at the creepy one that I think everybody loves. Dunwich Borers LLC. Now, clearly, this is a company that digs things. They bore into the ground. But also, Dunwich Borers is a pun. Dunwich Horrors is the influence. Now, this is a company. This is a location. There's a few different things going on here. The Dunwich Building is in Washington, D.C. Dunwich Borers is a quarry operation in the Commonwealth. And both of these zones were designed by Nate Perkipile, who I've interviewed a few times. Go back and listen to the episodes. He's the guy who inserted a lot of this Cthulhu-esque kind of Lovecraftian horror into the games. Now, the games already had some of those elements a little bit before Fallout 3, but definitely leaned more into it with these types of additions. And clearly these have become fan favorites. People have all sorts of speculation about what is actually going on here. Are there ancient gods? Are there aliens beside just the Zaytans? And maybe there's something going on with that as well. But for the most part, talking to Nate, these were just little side projects. These were little pieces of color. These were variations on a dungeon theme, things that they could put into the game or the games that would kind of just make it more interesting with side quests or just little zones that you stumble across. And especially when you go back to the days of Fallout 3, the development in and around Bethesda games at that time, the developers, the team was much smaller, and the developers seemed to have a little bit more autonomy in Fallout 4 and then Fallout 76, but also Starfield, the games that Bethesda has worked on now that the studio has gotten so big post Fallout 3, post Skyrim. They don't have as much autonomy, or at least it seems that way. And this is one of the things a lot of people in the studio talk about, but they also have way more employees and they need to kind of rein that in. If anybody could just add whatever they wanted at any moment into the games, it could get too crazy and way left of field. But yet, the employees that they had back around that time, Fallout 3, Skyrim, seemed to have a lot of good taste in the things that they added in. And it might be because they were a smaller team working in an office together, and they all kind of trusted each other and knew each other. So it's just some of my speculation about why that worked out the way it did. But Dunwich Borers is definitely a fun idea because it starts in Fallout 3, but then continues in Fallout 4. The company itself is actually interesting. They didn't just make regular drill bits and drilling equipment. They focused on acoustic borers, things that used sound and vibration in order to break rocks and to dig into the ground. So this feels kind of like a different technology, but maybe is implying that this was newer technology toward the end of the pre-war era of Fallout. And this company was using this to dig deeper, to dig too deep into the ground, potentially uncovering things that should never have been uncovered. There's kind of that kind of tone to it. Now, in the Dunwich building, you follow the journal pieces of an individual who descends into the building full of ghouls and eventually becomes irradiated and turned into a ghoul themselves. And we see that horror, the actual personal horror of witnessing yourself change, play out in their notes over time. And this was one of those quests back when I was playing Fallout 3 for the first time that really stood out to me, that made me go, oh, there's more to this game than I expected. And I love that about RPGs, when you come across something that feels like it expands the size of what you assume the world is like, and not just the world, like the space that you can walk around in, but the world design, the way characters interact, the potential for what weird things can happen, this definitely expanded that out. And then with Dunwich Borers, you come across a bore site down into the ground with what appeared to be remnants of some sort of ancient structure, a statue of some site, and also a place where people were worshipping and some sort of cult activity is going on. If you haven't gone to these locations, I'm not going to go too much into detail about the specifics on that, because this is more about the business than the specifics of the quest lines, but go check these out. Definitely cool things to see and a reason to go back and play these games if somehow you missed them. Maybe I'll do an episode in the future where we dig into the influences, the connections to Dunwich Horror, The Shunned House, another story from H.P. Lovecraft, and some of the iconography, the things that are directly lifted from these as inspiration, like a cyclopean statue and all of that. So maybe I'll do that in the future. I'll put that in the back pocket and maybe we'll come back around to it. All right, one more to wrap up this episode, another little tiny one. This is another DU, Dunwicks. This is a brand of beer, Dunwicks Irish Red. Now, what's interesting about this is you can find it in Fallout New Vegas. It's just across the Mojave Wasteland, but you're never going to find a bottle or a can of Dunwicks anywhere. The only place you can find this is on tap. It's just one of the little labels that you can see on tap machines across the Mojave, and that's it. It is nowhere else. There's nothing else with this logo, with this information on it at all. It was only designed by probably a single artist in order to decorate the tap where you just pour the beer out of. That would be the meta response to that. But I'm not much of a drinker myself. I'm not big into alcoholic drinks, so I did a little bit of research. I don't know what an Irish red ale is. It's also known as red ale or Irish ale. It's a style of pale ale, and it's brewed using a moderate amount of kilned malts and roasted barley, giving the beer a reddish color. The strength usually is between 3.8 and 4.8 alcohol by volume, and can get as high as 6%. And in the US, it's sometimes used to describe a darker amber ale or a red beer that is a lager with caramel coloring, but these are not true Irish red ales. So there you go. Wikipedia knows what's up with, Irish red ales. Not something, I don't think I've ever tried one. O'Hara's, I think, is one of those brands, if you're familiar with that. I don't know, comment if you like Irish red ales. So there you go, not much else to say about Dunwicks.
If you have any questions about Nuka World, I'd be delighted to answer them.
So there you go, Dowds through Dunwicks. We only have a few more D's before we get into the E's, and we'll continue the series as usual. I've gotten a number of people saying they really like digging into these, and even the ones that, like, I don't know, Dunwicks that just don't have as much information, they still think those are pretty cool to hear about. So I'm glad you're enjoying the show. Thank you for being here and continuing to support the show along with all of our patrons. And by the way, only 2 weeks until our next patron chat, and we would love to have you join us. Don't be shy. The patrons have been around for a while. They all seem to be very, very fun and friendly with each other, but they're also very friendly with new members. So you can come join us, patreon.com/falloutlorecast. You can get ad-free episodes. You can join us on the patron chat, which is almost always, we try to shoot for the last Wednesday of every month at 9 p.m. Eastern time. So if that time works for you, come join us. Also, shout outs to Our sentry bots, Germinator, the main monkey, and Iramudi, thank you so much for your support as well every month. And to all of our current patrons, thanks for being here and making the show possible. Also, if you'd like to leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, you can do that as well. I'll read those out on a future episode of the show. Also, if you're interested in old games, Retro Recall, we're going through all of the Mario games this month. And then next, we're already working on this. Next month, we're playing 4 of the hardest games ever made. And it's, I'm already a few games into it, and it is terrible. But I think you would enjoy our suffering. So Retro Recall, available whatever you're listening to this on, just look it up, Retro Recall. It's me and John from the 40K Lorecast suffering through games that we haven't played in 30 years. Or in the case of these difficult games, games that I have never really given a shot. And I now realize why Echo the Dolphin is actually a horror game. It's weird. Yeah, no, it's, yeah, aliens and stuff. It's weird. All right. Thanks for being here. Have a wonderful week. Stay safe in the wasteland. I'll see you next time. To plug into everything else we're doing, check out robotsradio.net. Reach out to me on Twitter at robots_radio. Check out the Robots Radio Rocket Club, where you can join me and a bunch of our other creators creating your podcast, starting a new podcast, or helping your current podcast grow. There's more information about that on robotsradio.net as well. And you can always talk with us and the entire community, over 2,000 people, on the Robots Radio Discord. Come join us. We'd love to chat with you. See you guys next time. Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play.